America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. Francine Busby says her campaign made history. Busby's the Democrat who tried to win the House seat, left open by jailed Republican Randy Duke Cunningham, the former congressman in prison after pleading guilty to taking bribes from defense contractors. The district in San Diego, California, is mostly Republican. Busby took about 45% of the vote, a big improvement from the race 2 years ago when she lost to Cunningham. Republican Brian Bilbray got 49%. He will serve out the 7 months left in Cunningham's term, and then he and Busby will face off again in November when they run for a new term to the seat. Political analysts are still debating what the outcome may mean for other political races this fall. A U.S. Army lieutenant in Washington State says he's refusing to deploy to Iraq because he considers the war morally wrong and a horrible breach of American law. First Lieutenant Aaron Watata was barred from having a news conference today during his duty hours at Fort Lewis, so he issued a statement instead. In it, Watata says his first duty as an officer is to the Constitution, and in his words, quote, not those who would issue unlawful orders. Watata says he tried to resign out of protest, but his superiors are trying to force him to participate in a war that he calls manifestly illegal. He says he will refuse those orders. His lawyer says Watata submitted a request to resign at least twice this year. Democrats in the House asking the Bush administration to pay for credit monitoring for millions of veterans and active duty military personnel whose VA records were stolen last month. A letter to George Bush says the government has a duty to ensure the financial health of our nation's veterans and military families is not harmed. Lawmakers expressing alarm today after learning that personal information from nearly all active duty military, National Guard, and Reserve members was on that laptop and disk stolen from a VA employee's home. Personal data on 26 million veterans was also on the computer. They had one more vote than last time, but supporters still did not get enough to pass the constitutional ban on gay marriage in the Senate. It failed 49 to 48. The White House says George Bush is ready for a long fight. Republican Senator Sam Brownback says the fight for constitutional ban on same-sex marriage won't end till marriage between a man and a woman is protected. This is Air America Radio News.
of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Joining us in a few minutes will be George Loki Williams of HumidCity.com. HumidCity.com. We've asked him to be on the program a bit tonight to discuss post-Katrina New Orleans and the first day of hurricane season, which is today, and some other issues that Loki will be able to enlighten us on. So when we get that interview going, after we talk for a while, if you want to call in with a question or comment on that particular issue, talk with Loki, especially if you were affected by any of the horrendous storms that hit the United States last year. And we'd like to hear how you're doing, if you're doing anything, folks who listen to this program on the coasts, what you're doing to prepare for the storms that are coming this year. If we're to believe, and we have no reason, I have no reason not to, the scientist, the meteorologist, who is the official spokesperson for the National Weather Service, this is going to be a rough ride this year. And remember what Rick Santorum wanted to do about, was it 6 to 8 months ago? Santorum wanted to abolish the National Weather Service, totally abolish it, get rid of the forecasting that they do, and turn it all over to private enterprise, like the Weather Channel and these various corporate entities, so that you and I would, we could subscribe to weather news, or we could buy weather news. If Santorum gets elected in Pennsylvania this November, that would be good reason for most people just to leave the country, don't you think? God, he's another one. Ah, they never stop. They never stop, do they? I think last week I mentioned a young man, Victor Ernesto Lopez, who is in prison in Puerto Rico, San Juan, Puerto Rico. Actually, it's a Metropolitan Detention Center. That's the name of it. I don't know if that is an official prison or what it is. But I do know that this young man... he's only about 22, I think. He wrote to me, I think, was it his 21st or 22nd birthday, Kathy? He wrote to me. He's written me scores of letters. All right, dozens of letters over the past couple of years. When he was incarcerated in Miami, he and people in his cell block used to listen to Air America faithfully. And he told me some pretty funny stories, if there is prison humor, and apparently there is, of... listening to Randy Rhodes or to my program or whomever. And when she or I or one of the hosts would make a salient point saturated with sarcasm and rage, the folks in the cell block would raise a rousing cheer about what we were talking about. Anyway, I got to know Ernesto, or Victor, a little bit through his letters. And I mentioned this last week, he's not trying to play on anybody's sympathy. He knows he's screwed up, but the crimes he committed were white-collar crimes. This is not a child molester. This is not a drug peddler. This is not a smuggler. This guy got involved in writing bad checks and credit card fraud in the Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, and the southern part of the United States. And he will, he'll tell you, I broke the law. But he's facing some hard time. He sent me a picture of he and his mother, of him and his mother, when he was, about 12, 14 years old. Really cute kid. And it just heartbreaking, he's very articulate. Obviously, this kid is well-educated. I haven't asked him about his education, but his letters are extremely articulate. But a couple of weeks ago, I started to notice a real downslide in what he was writing. The letters were getting briefer. sadder, anxiety saturated. And I you start to look for certain key phrases and words from somebody who might be contemplating giving up completely. And some of those words and phrases started to appear in what Victor was writing. So I apparently he has no family. And I mentioned his name on the air, and that his mailing address is at my website, mikemalloy.com. It's right there on the main page, top right hand. Can't miss it. Just click on write to Victor or whatever it says, and his address will come up. Got a letter from him the other day, and matter of fact, we went to the post office, and there were four letters from him, one on each day last week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. The one on Friday, he was halfway through the letter, a couple, three paragraphs, and he stopped, and he said, "They just came to my cell and handed me 10 letters." He said, "I can't," and he went on and on for the next three paragraphs. "Thank you. Oh, thank you. I can't believe you did this. We've never met. You don't know me. Thank you. And please tell the people who have written to me. I'm going to write to every single one of them. Thank you. Thank you." And it was just, it wasn't Kathy, it was just heartbreaking to read what he wrote. The gratitude from this kid, from getting these letters from you folks who have written. And he named some of you. He named, he just sat there and just furiously copied down. You could tell his handwriting just changed. He's writing down all these names in the towns or cities of people who had written to him. And there were, he listed 8 or 10 of them. And to those of you who have written to him, thank you so much. Like I said when I made the plea, I don't ask for much. It seems like I'm always begging for something, right? But this is for Victor Ernesto Lopez, and so if you got a minute, just send him a letter. Ask him some questions. He'll talk to you. He'll write back. This kid will write. Oh, will he write back? So if you can keep it going, and to the people who have written to him so far, thank you so much. This young man is facing. They're going to throw the book at him. Because in the areas where he wrote the bad checks and did the credit card fraud, resort areas, they don't like that. They don't like that at all. Not that he wasn't living high on the hog. No, he was just running a scam. And he says in his letters, I never should have done it. I'm so deeply sorry. I've got this time to serve. It just seems weird that they're going to give me 10 years in prison. And they probably are. There's really no mercy in a case like this. You know the drill. You can rip off investor. You can be Neil Bush and rip people off in Silverado banking organization to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars. And what's your penalty? You can't go into the banking and finance business for 10 years. Or you can walk into the nearest convenience store and steal $20 worth of fake food and wind up serving 5 years in prison. Or you can do what Victor did and write bad checks and be facing 10 years. So anyway, you know the drill. You know how it works. This kid has not committed crimes of violence against people. He's not pulled a gun on anyone. He's not beat anyone up. He broke the law and he's serving his time. But if you can send him a letter. The address is right there on my website. That would be great. Victor Ernesto Lopez. The last letter to me, he said, if I could just get transferred to a prison where I can hear Air America. I can't. Oh, my God.
That would be like Atlanta.
Right. It certainly would, wouldn't it? The other quick announcement here, the 9/11 conference begins tomorrow, the 9/11 Truth Movement International Conference. It'll be held starting tomorrow, the 3rd and the 4th, at Embassy Suites Hotel in Chicago. You can get details about this at 911truth.org, 911truth.org. One of the speakers will be TVNewsLies.org's own Jesse, whom you've heard me quote many times on this program. Professor Stephen Jones will be there. So if you're in the Chicago area, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday, Embassy Suites Hotel in Chicago, the 9/11 Truth Movement International Conference. And details are at 911truth.org. Check it out, okay? We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Mr. Bush declared we'd won. Though we had not found those weapons, our search had just begun. Tell me, who hid the WMD in Saddam Hussein's palace? Nobody found it. That's because it came from Dallas. He went in.
You're listening to the best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Entrepreneurs, I've got your number. I know how much you put into your small business. Big dreams, big plans, and most of all, big thinking. Not your average run-of-the-mill thinking. You're all about big thinking, as in light bulb over the head, eureka screaming, think I'll open my own small business kind of thinking. The kind of thinking shown when you sign your company up for the budget business program from Budget Rent-A-Car. Now, I know what your knowledge-hungry mind is saying. Sounds interesting. Please tell me more. Will do. The Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. $2 back every day. You're the genius. Add it up. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business and sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent budget and rent like a genius.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Yeah, that's easy for you to say. Molly Ivins, unloaded again. You know, she writes for Creator Syndicate now. Just let me share with you a couple of things that she said here. So Haditha, she writes, becomes another of the names at which we wince, along with Abu Ghraib, Guantanamo, and My Lai. Tell you what, Molly writes, let's not use the stress of combat excuse this time. According to neighbors, the girls in the family of Yunus Khafif, the one who kept pleading in English, I am a friend, I am good, the girls in that family were 14, 10, 5, 3, and 1. What are they going to say? Under stress of combat, we thought the baby was 2. Mohammed Jazim, an Iraqi merchant, says, quote, we have a Haditha every day. Were those killed in Haditha the first Iraqis to be killed for no reason? Asked Ghassan Jai, a pharmacist. Molly answers, well, no, but we Americans don't count collateral damage unless we're forced to. We prefer to ignore collateral damage, especially if they're under 5. Jesus Christ. And then she mentioned something we talked about last week. Remember the Canadian National Post story that I talked about and immediately was bombarded, thank you very much, with corrections that the story was a fake. Molly Ivins writes, 2 weeks ago, Amir Tahiri had an op-ed article in the Canadian National Post claiming the Iranians have a law requiring Jews to wear yellow badges. It turned out to be a complete fabrication and has been the subject of much contempt among bloggers. So this past Tuesday, Amir Tahiri, the liar, was invited to the White House, along with other so-called experts, to give the president their honest opinions on Iran. Molly adds, with advice like that, our war in Iran will be a slam dunk. Jesus, God. I remember seeing that earlier this week, that this guy, Amir Tahiri, had been invited by Bush and Cheney and Rice. And what's up with George Bush and Condoleezza Rice, huh? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Something is going on. But he was invited. Amir Tahiri was invited to come in and brief Bush, a full-blown, internationally now known liar who writes things like Jews, Christians, and Zoroastrians are going to have to wear strips of cloth, colored strips of cloth on their clothing to identify the fact that they are not Muslim. And this is the guy who's going to be advising Bush. Well, after we talk with Loki, who's going to join us here in right after the next break, we're going to talk a little bit. I heard Al Franken talking about this today. Usually Al Franken and I never talk about the same topics. But I heard him talking about this today. I listened a bit this morning. In the New York Times today about the Bush and Condi making an offer to meet with the Iranians on a nuclear plan. And I listened to what Al had to say, and then I hadn't read the Times yet, checked it out, like, oh, my God. And then why Chuckle Nuts has decided to make this offer. And then I flipped over to the editorial page and read David Brooks today, who is one of the columnists on the op-ed page. The column is titled No More Excuses. And I want to talk about those three intersecting stories today. Two of them, all three were in the Times. Two of them about Bush and Condi deciding to make an offer to the Iranians. First contact through diplomatic channels that the United States has had with the Iranians since 1979, since they took our embassy staff hostage. All. 40 of the CIA agents who worked there. And remember, that's how Nightline got its start, was reporting on the Iranian hostage crisis. You know, the Iranians just couldn't take a joke. That was in 1979, and 26 years earlier, we had overthrown their government and installed the Shah of Iran. And then, of course, the Shah was overthrown in turn by the by a revolution of sorts, and the Ayatollah Khomeini took over. And the Iranians just said, well, you know, we're kind of pissed off about this. So they took our people hostage. And you remember, if you don't, look it up. A lot of you folks are very young, but this is 1970, 1980. It's what got Reagan elected, because the Republicans even back then started claiming that Jimmy Carter was, you know, had no starch in his spine, so to speak, didn't know how to handle the Iranians. And, of course, while all that was going on, George Herbert Walker Bush, working behind the scenes, was convincing the Iranians to continue to hold Americans hostage until after the election. Republicans are filthy, filthy creatures. They really are. All right. That's a long way to say whatever the hell it was I started out to say. Have no idea. All right, after the break, stay here, because I want you to hear what Loki has to say. HumidCity.com. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy.
The best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 100,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals on the iMed and Cigna Dental Networks. Call right now and you can try the Optimum Health Discount Card risk-free for 30 days. That's right, your membership entitles you to full access to the entire Cigna Dental Network and iMed Network for you to try risk-free for 30 days. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Start saving up to 60% off now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
2 years ago, I had a heart attack, right here in our restaurant. If it weren't for Bayer aspirin and some quick thinking on my son's part, who knows? To me, Bayer's an amazing thing. I mean, just think about it. The same Bayer aspirin my son takes for his backaches and my daughter for headaches helped save my life. Bayer's an important part of this family. Always will be. It truly is a wonder drug.
Genuine Bayer aspirin, working wonders every day. Aspirin taken as directed by a doctor during a suspected heart attack. Use as directed.
Hi, it's Glenn Beck. I know. Who's he? I'm the guy with a new show on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace. Now, why would Headline News give me a show?
Maybe because politically correct really isn't in my vocabulary.
It's time somebody says what we're all thinking, from politics to pop culture. Every night, Headline News sets me loose. Not to save the world, just to look for some common sense. Watch me, Glenn Beck, every night on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace.
smell of soothing bedtime lullabies. It's Mike Malone.
It's about 25 before the hour. Okay, if you did your homework, like I suggested at the top of the program, you went to humidcity.com and checked out the website. If you go to humidcity.com/about, you'll get this. Humid City started off on Blogger in early 2005, devoted to the unexplored sides of New Orleans, art and music, and that direction changed radically on the 28th of August, just like everything else related to New Orleans. And it says a lot more. And then it says, since then, Humid City has been an ongoing stream of commentary and opinion, a voice in the wilderness of post-Katrina New Orleans. Humid City was one of the bloggers mentioned by the BBC during the hurricane, during Katrina, when no news was getting out of the city, or the news that was coming out was not the sort that gave a complete picture of what was going on. Yeah, we all saw the horrendous, hideous video. We saw the network anchors just losing it on bridges that went nowhere and near the Superdome. But the bloggers kept it up and kept it up and kept it up to give a full understanding of what was going on. Let me bring in a Loki. Who is the head blogger and blogger at humidcity.com. His name is George Williams, but he goes by the name Loki. Feel free to call with your comments on this issue, especially if you were affected by any of those storms last year. Phone number here is 866-303-2270. Loki, welcome to the program. Should I call you Loki or George?
Whichever you prefer.
Well, I like Loki. Is that a Norse god?
Yeah, it's actually a nickname I picked up back in my music production days at the House of Blues about 15 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm a big student of mythology, and back then I used to be a bit of a practical joker, so I got settled with that and decided to run with it and keep it as a pen name.
Well, it's very catchy. I like that name. Let me start, Loki. For those in our audience that missed the BBC story about the New Orleans bloggers who escaped Katrina, can you explain how a website devoted to music and art became focused on Hurricane Katrina?
Well, basically, I had run several web-based projects before, trying to get alternative music and alternative art down here in exposure. And I had just set up a new one. It was my first experience playing around with blogs. It had only been up for a month or so. And I had just set it up so that I could call in audio posts from a cell phone anywhere, mm-hmm. in order to do interviews with people backstage and at art shows and things like that. Well, when Katrina hit, a guy that I brought in who writes under the pen name Oyster, does a lot of sociopolitical commentary down here on a blog called Your Right Hand Thief. It's very easy to Google. The man's ferociously intelligent. Threw a post up on the site that I checked the day before we evacuated when I was trying to make my decision, saying, get the hell out, even the Cajuns are leaving the bayou.
Right.
So at that point, I decided this would be the first storm in 39 years that I would actually run from. So I sent out an email to everybody that we knew and said, hey, we just set up this voice posting thing. Can't afford the cell phone minutes to call everybody, but if you check the site once a day, I'll call in every day and let you know how we are and where we are until we get back home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we got to West Memphis 17 hours later, spent the next day or two watching the Corps of Engineers' handiwork crumble and the city begin flooding, basically the whole hotel was full of folks from down in New Orleans. It was mostly folks from the lower Ninth Ward, which is now infamous thanks to mass media because it was one of the worst hit areas.
Mm-hmm.
People from Slidell, people from Uptown where I live, Broadmoor, all the neighborhoods in New Orleans. And I knew instantly the mass media was going to screw everything up. They were going to get histrionic about the wrong things, and you wouldn't get an idea of what was really going on.
Mm-hmm.
But having that system in place, I could give the people around me an actual voice that someone could go back and look at years later and get a more accurate picture. You know, this is the age of digital technology. The winners don't get to write all the history
anymore. That's true. Tell us a little bit about your exodus from New Orleans. I understand that there are 3 or 4 carloads, and you had a snake. And
well, my fiance and I are both cyclists. If you live in New Orleans, even before Katrina, New Orleans was a small enough city, you don't need to own a car. You can get pretty much anywhere on a bicycle if you don't mind riding a little bit. So when evacuation time came, you know, as I said, I'm a native. My family's been here as long as there's been a New Orleans. I've never run from a storm in my life. This was the first. We got a hold of some friends of ours that were taking off, and we managed to juggle a whole bunch of people, and most of us are pet owners, into a few vehicles. We ended up with 9 people, 13 cats, and a 4.5-foot boa constrictor crammed into 3 compact cars.
Good God Almighty. What a sight that must have been. Were you still in contact with friends who stayed behind?
Well, that was the weird part. You know, this storm, most everybody left. I mean, the people that were still here were either folks that did not have the capability of leaving, or, you know, like for instance, I know one guy that I used to work down at the House of Blues with. He worked a double shift from 3 in the afternoon until 7 in the morning, got off work, went out there, and everybody was packing their cars and leaving. He was like, it's just another hurricane. Went home, woke up 8 hours later with water rising.
Yeah.
You know, but it was about, I guess, 2 weeks later we actually managed. I was just madly trying 504, which is our area code, numbers that I had for people whose whereabouts I didn't know. And the one person I actually managed to get a hold of was my landlord, who stayed behind and wrote it out and to this day has not left the city.
Wow.
You know, it was an interesting experience. It was very odd because we were in exile. We couldn't get back. 5 of the cats were ours, and you can't take more than 2 animals per person on a train or a bus or a plane or anything. Mm-hmm. So we got stuck where we were until we could make enough money to come back down. This hit right before payday.
How long were you and the folks with you displaced or homeless?
We ended up getting back to New Orleans 1 week before Halloween.
Hmm.
We got back a lot more rapidly than many people did.
So about 2 months.
Just under that.
All right. Let me ask you this. I've recently read an article or read some news report or something that there are still totally decayed bodies are still being recovered.
That's completely true.
And some city services like mass transport transportation have yet to be restored. What is it like in New Orleans now? I hear that so much of it is just, you know, I've been to New Orleans 6 or 7 times, and all I remember is that it was music and a lively city and hustlers and people walking and talking and working and noise and fun.
Lights and smiles and
yeah,
and
absolutely.
Good times.
So what is it? Give us a sense of what it's like there now.
All right. In many ways, it's like living in the Forbidden Zone from the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I live in the Uptown area. Now, for listeners that don't have any familiarity with New Orleans, that is the little sliver of high ground that did not get hit. Mm-hmm. I had just moved into this apartment 2 weeks before the storm. My old place, there's nothing left but exterior walls. Mm-hmm. You go 2 blocks from my house, and the water lines start.
Right.
I live 1 block off of St. Charles Avenue, which is the one street that everybody sees pictures of that isn't the quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Half of the street lights on the avenue are non-functional. 25% of the street lights on the avenue are horizontal, lying on the ground. Trash pickups, an iffy sometime during the week, about once a week, which is a vast improvement on what it was before. I've got a friend who lives about 18 blocks from here who is currently sitting back and watching a movie on his DVD player, which is powered by the gas generator that he is using.
It's coming up on 10 months, and now we're into the hurricane season 2006. It's astonishing to me that on the one hand. On the other hand, it's not, given the politics of what happened down there. But it's astonishing to me that the city is still in such a state as it's in. It's incredible.
Well, one of the numbers that was batted around a lot during the recent mayoral campaign was 16%. And 16% is the amount that has been cleared.
Oh, my God, which leaves 84% that hasn't. All right, we have to take a break here, Loki. And when we come back, I want to talk. You know, a lot of people say, well, don't point fingers. Let's be forward-looking. Let's not look that. You know, and to that I say, bat squeeze.
I've got a finger to point.
Well, good. I want to know where you place the blame for the lack of preparedness, if most of it belongs on the national level, state level, city level, or whatever. So give us some thought, and let's talk about that when we come back, okay?
Certainly.
We're talking with HumidCity.com blogger Loki. If you haven't been to the website, check it out. We're also going to get his impressions tonight of what's in store for the city that so many of us loved, those of us who didn't live there, who saw it as this mecca of art and music. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to the best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Must you sacrifice your values to be a successful investor? At Pax World, we don't think so. We offer you the opportunity to invest with your values. We also believe companies meeting higher social and environmental standards are better long-term investments. Pax World, socially responsible mutual fund since 1971. Available with a low $250 minimum investment.
You should consider a fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses before investing. For this and other important information, please obtain a fund prospectus by calling 1-800-767-1729 or online at paxworld.com. Please read the prospectus carefully before investing.
Hi, it's Glenn Beck. I'm the guy with a new show on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace. Why did I get a show? Well, maybe it's because I'm not afraid to say what we're all thinking. First, politicians. They get paid to work, not talk. Start fixing gas prices. Get serious about Iraq, Iran, and immigration. Next, Brittany, Paris, Tom, Katie. What kind of idols do our kids have these days? I'm just looking for a little common sense here and there. Watch me, Glenn Beck, every night on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific.
anticipated the breach of the levees.
Ten before the hour, we're talking with the blogger known as Loki, HumidCity.com, who kept things going, kept reports coming out of one of the bloggers that kept reports coming out of New Orleans when the hurricane hit last year. And all right, the question right before the break, Loki, where the blame should be placed. I was astonished as that story unfolded. What I had was what was being provided to me by MSNBC and CNN and the networks, and it was mind-boggling. I've never seen anything like that in the United States. And what I'm talking about is the massive refugees, the people who converged on the Superdome, the people who were forced to squat in 95 degree weather on chunks of expressway that went nowhere, and just on and on and on and on. And I couldn't believe this was happening. Now I can't believe over the past 9 months, nothing has been done to completely eliminate this problem. And I, a lot of people say, well, you can't hurricane proof the city, and that may be true to an extent, but you can do a damn hell of a better job than what was done before. So I've just got to ask you, the responsibility, the blame for the lack of preparedness, where does it rest?
Well, the primary blame, and this is something that is shared by almost every single person I've talked to, be they here in the city again or in the diaspora, is the Army Corps of Engineers, a group that is currently shielded by laws enacted in 1928, I think it was, to keep them from being sued for flood damage resulting in any failed flood prevention projects of theirs. The Corps of Engineers, and this is something that just amazes me, has stepped up, and numerous members of their organization have admitted culpability. They have said that they built the levees on specs they knew were outdated and knew were inaccurate and unsafe to be cost effective. That's partially at the blame of the feds for not giving them the money, but it's also partially at the foot of the classic and well-known corruption of that particular organization.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone down here, you mentioned the Corps or FEMA, and they, if they're polite, they just spit.
Right.
You know, these are the two areas. Now, the fact that the mayor and the administration that were in place here, now they've been vilified, and rightly so, on many fields, but I must say one thing, which is that if Morial had still been in charge or one of his predecessors, we would have seen a lot more death, a lot more destruction. We would not have seen the first mayor with balls enough to demand a mandatory evacuation in the city's entire history. Mm-hmm. So he does get points for that. But the fact that really gets my goat, particularly since my father spent 2 years in a Vietnam prison camp for defending this country, was the gross and criminal abandonment of New Orleans by the federal government.
It was horrible. It was that's the thing. It's just horrible. And now we find out from one of the infamous videotapes that Bush, or as we call him, President Chucklenuts, when he was briefed, didn't ask a single question prior to the storm hitting and the levees breaking.
Well, what do you expect from a C student?
Well, that's true, or from someone who seems to enjoy death and destruction.
Well, it's good for big business.
It is indeed. The Hurricane Pam simulation predictions were ignored. Now, when you say it's good for big business, I've got a listener. Well, he's more than a listener over in Mississippi on the coast, whose area of the Mississippi coast took a direct hit, as you know, that slid just a little bit to the east of New Orleans.
Been there. There's nothing left.
I know. And my correspondent Herb, who lives over there, wanted me to ask you if in New Orleans if you all are having the land grabs like what's going on in southern Mississippi right now.
Oh, the speculation is just ridiculous, and a lot of almost everything that's going on down here. I'll put it to you this way: Halliburton and Shaw Group employees have noticeably ceased wearing anything that identifies their association with the company.
Oh, wow.
Okay. That should give you a little bit of an idea of the tenor of things down here.
What about Blackwater, the private security firm out of North Carolina?
Well, I think I was one of the first people to write about them being down here, because I knew about them because my dad used to work in intelligence for the government. And there's a Jewish community center on St. Charles Avenue, which was the FEMA center where they'd screw up your paperwork, no matter what it was, and run you through rings and get absolutely nothing done, as they're so famous for doing, on the avenue. Now, why you need 20 or 30 private mercenaries who are usually only deployed for hostile actions in other countries who've never been used on U.S. soil to defend FEMA people up until a matter of only a month or two ago? Could it possibly be that FEMA and the government have been doing things so badly and blatantly bending people over and having their way with them to the point that they need that sort of protection?
Well, there's that. There's also the clear possibility in my mind of giving Blackwater employees some domestic experience, how to operate. Not in Iraq, not providing security for the occupying civilians over there, but give them some experience. Walk in the streets of New Orleans. Let's take New Orleans. Give them some experience working with frantic people, Americans who all speak English, who look like them except for the heavy armor and the weaponry that they carried. So I have a feeling it was that. Loki, can you hold on? I want to do just a little bit more with you when we come back. We're going to take a break here at the top of the hour. All right, all right, stay right there. We're talking with the blogger Loki, who you can find out more about him at humidcity.com. Check it out. Stick around. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy on Air America.
Of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Did you know that most vacuums sold today spew dust and bacteria back into the air your family breathes? It's disgusting, I know. Hi, I'm David Orrick, and I want to assure you that my 8-pound Orrick XL does not blow dirt back into the air. For a healthier environment, you want a hypoallergenic Orrick XL. Call me at 1-800-989-4200 for a free 30-day trial. 1-800-989-4200. I promise, my Oric XL won't blow dirt back into the air. Ever.
Hi, it's Glenn Beck. I'm the guy with a new show on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace. Why did I get a show? Well, maybe it's because I'm not afraid to say what we're all thinking. First, politicians. You get paid to work, not talk. Start fixing gas prices. Get serious about Iraq, Iran, and immigration. Next, Brittany, Paris, Tom, Katie. What kind of idols do our kids have these days? I'm just looking for a little common sense here and there. Watch me, Glenn Beck, every night on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific.
News. I'm Bill Crowley. Religious leaders speak out against torture. American evangelical, Catholic, Jewish, and Muslim leaders are calling for an end to U.S. policies that allow torture of prisoners. Clergy signing the statement of the National Religious Campaign Against Torture include the Reverend Rick Warren, Cardinal Theodore McCarrick, the Reverend Ted Haggard, Rabbi David Saperstein, and the head of the Islamic Society of North America. Other signers include former President Jimmy Carter and Nobel Prize winner Elie Wiesel. Cardinal McCarrick says torture violates the dignity of people created in God's image. Fuller Theological Seminary professor Glenn Stassen said, "When torture is permitted by a country whose leader claims to be a Christian, it undermines missionary work and evangelism." A committee set up by Congress says the federal government should guarantee that all Americans have basic health insurance coverage. The interim report of the Citizens Healthcare Working Group, a 14-member committee that went to 50 communities and heard from 23,000 people, says, quote, "assuring health care is a shared social responsibility." The committee describes its recommendations as a framework. Those recommendations do not say who would pay for universal health coverage or how much it would cost. The concept of government-guaranteed coverage runs counter to the Bush administration position that consumers should bear more responsibility for their initial medical expenses. The group's findings will be officially presented to George Bush and Congress in the fall, but first comes 90 days of public comment, then Bush will submit to Congress his response, and then five congressional committees will hold hearings. Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon said he and Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah came up with the idea for establishing the group to work outside of Washington to find out what Americans want. He said they were tired of years of gridlock on health care. 49 senators today denied appeals from George Bush to ban gay marriage. The Senate, by one vote, rejecting the constitutional change to outlaw same-sex marriage. The House will take up the issue next month. The House today voted 379-35. For a tenfold increase in the maximum monetary fine the FCC can impose for broadcast indecency. That hikes the maximum penalty from $32,500 to $325,000 per incident. This is Air America Radio News.
marriage is the most fundamental institution of civilization, and it should not be redefined by activist judges.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. It's about 7 past the hour. Welcome to the program. What a strange day, wasn't it? This happens to be the 25th, I hate to say anniversary, but it's been, well, I don't know how else to say it. It was 25 years ago when the first cluster of cases that would eventually come to be known as acquired immune deficiency syndrome reports were published about this first cluster. It was first made known that there was something, some disease that at the time was attacking gay people, gay men. 25 years. In that 25-year period, do you know how many people have died worldwide from AIDS? 25 million. We're going to talk about that a little bit in the later on in the program tonight. Bush was in full flower today, addressing a group of Christian haters who sat there in the little room while Bush talked about how he's going to support an amendment to the U.S. Constitution defining marriage. Let me just add this into the mix. I frankly don't believe there should be anything like marriage available to anybody in the country, the way it's currently defined. Come on, come on. Think about it for a second. What there should be is civil unions, where two people get together, man-man, man-woman, woman-woman, who cares? They get together and agree to a certain set of legal strictures and advantages. End the story. That's it. It's over. It's a contract. And it's like any contract. It has clauses to it, and it has certain definitions to it. Now, if at some point along the way, as happens with more than half of the marriages in this country now, the two people decide, well, I think it's time to move on, then they dissolve the contract. That's what we do now. It's called divorce. And It just seems to me that civil unions should be, you know, the old Soviet way to go. God, I hate to say it that way, but that's the only model I can think of right now. The jokes, I can remember in the 60s and 70s, the jokes about getting married in the Soviet Union, how they would go to the local clerk of courts or city clerk or whoever it was, the local Communist Party functionary, and sign their agreement, and that was it. They were married. Then if they wanted to, they could go ahead and have the Russian Orthodox Church perform some sort of a clandestine wedding ceremony. Well, we don't have to do it clandestinely. Once people have signed their contract, which is really all marriage is, isn't it? I mean, look at the terms in marriage. Isn't it a contract? That's all it is. Oh, it's. I'm not trying to be terribly anti-romantic here, because I'm probably the most romantic talk show host you'll ever hear. But after the civil union is completed, if someone wants to have a religious ceremony, go for it. Do it. It can be Baptist. It can be Wiccan. It can be ancient Celtic. It can be Jewish. It can be Muslim, Hindu. Do it. Oh my God, do it. Have fun. Dance and praise your gods and goddesses but the fact remains that it's a civil contract. There's not a minister in America who doesn't say this: now by the power vested in me by the state, I pronounce you man and wife. And the only way the minister or the religious figure can put the marriage together, the religious ceremony together, is if he has in his sweaty little hand a marriage license or a civil union license. This is no longer the and it shouldn't be an area where the church or the mosque, or the temple, or the coven, or whatever holds full sway over this. No, absolutely not. It's a contract. You set the terms of the contract. You get civil unioned. And then regardless of the mix of your genders, you and your partner, if you want a religious ceremony, go get it. Jesus, how hard is that? Oh, I know. I know. Anyway, so Bush is out there with the crazy people in the room. You could almost hear it in the background, sort of a low chant. Kill the gays, 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 burn the gays! You know, send them all to hell. You could almost hear that in the background, couldn't you? Homophobic Bush, or frankly, I've read stuff that says Bush doesn't give a tinker's damn. He doesn't care who marries whom. He really doesn't care. Not that he is a great civil libertarian where it concerns the rights of all Americans. Oh, no, he doesn't believe in rights of all Americans. He is just a dumb bastard who doesn't care. He just doesn't care. He's got other things to think about. His Game Boy, how many people are going to die on planet Earth today because of his policies? He doesn't give them. Queers, get out. I don't care. Don't talk to me about that. Go talk to Dick Cheney's daughter. He doesn't care. But he's pandering, which is what Bush does. So here he is with this push for a constitutional ban on marriages by gay marriages by defining marriage as a union between a man and a woman, which any fool can tell you it is not. That may be a religious interpretation of this thing where a man and a woman get together. But as far as people signing contracts, you can make any contract you want, truth seeker, as long as it doesn't involve murder or mayhem. I mean, I don't suppose you can make a contract where you're going to burn down an office building somewhere. But if you want to make a contract regarding a business agreement between you and another human being, here's the business agreement. We promise to stay together if we're healthy or if we're sick, whether or not we make a lot of money or whether or not we're poor. Let's see. If children come into this union, we'll take care of them. And if we do separate, well, you see what I mean? It's just a contract. Imagine if Bush were out there trying to tout an amendment. And he would if he could. That would, deny a certain segment of the population of the United States the right to vote. Or the right of the majority gender in this country, deny women the right to privacy where it concerns how they make their medical decisions. Oh, never mind. Those issues are still on the agenda, aren't they? It's incredible. So there we have it, 25th anniversary of the first report, in medical journal, of this cluster of cases that went on to be known as AIDS. And in a episode related in the public consciousness, not necessarily related any longer, but related in the public consciousness, AIDS and gays. Bush stands out there today and wants to... wants to sound as though he's wanting the Congress of the United States and the various legislatures of the various states to place into the United States Constitution for the first time in our history an amendment that legalizes discrimination. The Bush crime family has brought a lot of firsts into our house, hasn't he, huh? First time we have ever attacked gratuitously and murdered another country just because we could. Yeah. Oh, well. A news flash here from the asylum. I got this from Greg Palast on Saturday. Greg wrote to remind me that Saturday was the 50th anniversary of the publication of Allen Ginsberg's poem Howl. You know, the one that starts, "I see the best minds in my generation destroyed by madness." In 1956, Ginsberg sat at a kitchen table in San Francisco and wrote that his friends were going crazy. They could still hear the voice of McCarthy ranting and out the window count the Pentagon contractors polishing new warheads. In an America gone mad, insanity was the best defense, Greg writes. The soul, Ginsberg wrote, should never die ungodly in an armed madhouse.
You're listening to the best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Look at your radio. Kind of cool, right? From somewhere far, far away, progressive voices are beamed directly to wherever you are on Air America Radio. You know, there's so much to say. We've tried archiving previous shows inside that radio of yours. We've tried stuffing it full of video feeds of Al Franken, Jerry Springer, The Majority Report, and more. But that part doesn't seem to be working. So the really great stuff that won't fit inside your radio is available right now from Air America Premium. We tried stuffing the homepage in your radio, but that didn't work either. So please use your computer instead. Find out about Air America Premium today at airamericaradio.com.
My one favorite spread has been Smart Balance Buttery Spread. I'm Bob Harris, and I've got another favorite spread that I think you'll love. It's new Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter. It contains no hydrogenated oil, no trans fatty acid, no refined sugar, all natural ingredients, and 1,000 milligrams of omega-3s per serving. New Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter with 1,000 milligrams of omega-3. We deep roast premium quality peanuts to make it taste great.
They go together like a horse and carriage.
This I'll tell you.
Brother, and now the man conservatives love to hate, it's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. We'll have some sound for you here in a little while with Bush and the snowman talking about the sanctity of marriage, down with the queers, constitutional amendment nonsense. Why am I talking about it? I know it's not going to pass. I know it doesn't stand a chance. I know it's a cover. I know there are more important things to be talking. I understand that, and that's the reason I'm talking about it, because it is so blatantly being thrown in the faces of Americans today in order to cover up the criminal activities of this administration and the psychosis of these so-called Christians who revel in seeing how far they can go to condemn people to hell. Speaking of that, did you see this story? This is in Kiev, Ukraine. A man shouting that God would keep him safe was mauled to death by a lioness in the Kiev zoo after he crept into the animal's enclosure. It's according to a zoo official there. The official said, quote, "The man shouted, 'God will save me if he exists,' lowered himself by a rope into the enclosure, took his shoes off, and went up to the lions. A lioness went straight for him, knocked him down, and severed his carotid artery." I wonder if they'll shoot the lioness now. The Pentagon has been working on a new field manual. I'm sure you're familiar with that. New policies on prisoners being drawn up by the Pentagon is apparently going to omit a key part of the Geneva Convention that explicitly bans what is referred to as humiliating and degrading treatment. Our military will be given a field manual that has that part taken out. The LA Times, in writing about this, citing unidentified but knowledgeable military officials, said this will mark a further potentially permanent shift by the U.S. government away from strict adherence to international human rights standards. If I may be so bold, LA Times, no, it's not a shift by the U.S. government. It's a shift by the Bush crime family. Once rational human beings are restored to the executive branch of this government, half-witted laws like this will be removed, or not laws, directives will be removed. Now, Condoleezza State Department, according to the Times, fiercely opposes this decision to exclude Geneva Convention protections. Of course, Rumsfeld looks at Condoleezza Rice. Well, you know how Rumsfeld looks at Condoleezza Rice. Come on, she's a black woman. Please. Rumsfeld is a white man in his 70s who doesn't particularly like his decisions being riddled with the statement that Rice made some time ago, not that long ago, that thousands of mistakes were made in the attack and subsequent occupation on and of Iraq. Remember when Rumsfeld looked at her like, another one of these uppity negresses, huh? This one's Secretary of State. Well, You can just smell that, can't you? When the two of them are photographed together, as they were a couple of weeks ago when they both went to Iraq at the same time, and there's the school marm, Condoleezza Rice, just bubbling away about her conversations with the freely elected leaders of Iraq, and there in the corner is Rumsfeld, chewing on the inside of his cheek. You could see him doing it, couldn't you? Looking at Condoleezza, well, if you weren't sleeping with the boss, none of this would be happening. So the Pentagon intends to issue a new Army field manual on interrogation, which will represent core instructions to U.S. troops around the world. And I like this. The directive on interrogation, a senior defense official said, is being rewritten to create safeguards so that all detainees are treated humanely, but it can still be questioned effectively. I saw the best minds of my generation. Margaret wrote in, Dear Mike, where's the religious right on this killing of a pregnant woman at an Iraqi checkpoint last week? Surely the killing of the baby fits under the Unborn Victims of Violence Act, if not legally, then certainly morally. I wonder how many good Christian fundamentalists got down on their knees this past Sunday and prayed for the soul of that child. Or do they only care about white American fetuses? Margaret. This is Air America.
The best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Thank you for calling for your risk-free trial of Proactive Solution.
Yeah, what's the catch?
Excuse me?
Your ad says I can try Proactive Solution risk-free and it'll make my acne disappear. Sounds a little too good to be true to me.
Oh, no catch. We're so sure that Proactive Solution will give you beautiful, healthy-looking skin that we're going to let you try it risk-free just to prove it.
Okay, but I've tried a lot of different things for acne before and they always make my skin itchy and flaky.
Well, that's why Proactive uses soothing spa-quality botanicals along with prescription-grade acne medicine to heal, hydrate, and soothe your skin while eliminating bumps and redness. Now, there's one thing I didn't mention.
A catch, right?
We're also going to give you a free refining face mask with your risk-free trial.
Wow, it's free?
To get your risk-free trial of Proactive Solution and free refining face mask, call 1-800-508-5881. For your risk-free trial, call 1-800-508-5881. That's 1-800-508-5881.
Why do I like working here? It's just cool working for a company that's out there with the latest technology. It's given me a chance to learn and grow into a new career. And now, I'm the guy who gets my teammates fired up about bringing Verizon's innovative broadband network to folks around the country. It's just an outstanding place to work. I work hard for Verizon, and Verizon works hard for me. And if my baby could actually talk, I'm pretty sure he'd agree. I'm Ryan Hill, Fios Marketing Manager. Our people, our network. Verizon, we never stop working for you.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. 40 million Americans suffer from allergies, 17 million from asthma, 37 million from sinus infections. Here's the thought. Change the air you breathe. An Orrick Professional Air Purifier completely renews the air in an average-sized room every 10 minutes. Try it free for 90 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200.
are listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
It's about 25 before the hour. Let's do some phone calls on this bigotry amendment that Bush and the evangelicals are pushing. Let's start with Ken, who's calling from Tucson, Arizona. Ken, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. How are you doing this evening?
Doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing good. I can't believe that the two of these flag burning amendment and this banning gay marriage, both of them, how much time and effort was spent on those with all these other things going on. It blows me away. But the question I was going to ask, and this is going to sound kind of like a joke, but it's serious, and I'd love to see a reporter ask Bush this question, because I think it would probably blow whatever intellectual neurons he still has going. And that is, that would mean that a hermaphrodite would not be able to get married.
Oh.
It's a joke, but I mean, seriously.
Well, I guess so. I don't even know. But you're probably,
because hermaphrodite is someone that has sexual organs of both sexes. It's not really a man or a woman.
Or perhaps both.
Possibly. But one other thing, I saw Mr. Smith Goes to Washington yesterday. I caught that on cable, and I thought, I wish they should start showing that twice a year to every kid in school, maybe starting in fifth grade, and just make and take every member of the Senate and Congress and force them to watch it until they could pass a 100-question exam on that movie. I saw that. I almost, my kids were wondering why I was tearing up.
Yeah.
I was watching that, and I'm thinking, my God.
No, I know what you mean. I'm kind of giggling about the idea of forcing these unconscionable bastards to watch it. But it's a great movie, and I know exactly what you're talking about, Ken. It's too bad life doesn't imitate art in this specific example. We might have some leadership in this country.
I really enjoy your show, and thanks for everything you do.
Thanks, Ken. Thanks for checking in. Good to hear from you.
All right.
Take care. Since Ken brought up the hermaphrodites, it might be a good time to just lightly dance across the surface of the legend of the androgynes. Are you all familiar with the androgynes? That's where we get the word androgynous, the androgynes. See, way, 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 way back in history, there were two races. There were the gods, and there were the androgynes. And the gods lived in god territory, Mount Olympus, or in the clouds, or wherever. And the androgynes all lived here on planet Earth. And what was interesting about the androgynes is they were, in fact, half man, half woman. And in that configuration, they were absolutely content. They didn't involve themselves, the androgynes didn't, in the things of the gods, things like war, jealousy, greed, hatred, violence, viciousness, republicanism. They were happy, the androgynes were. They were so happy, in fact, that the gods eventually, as gods are wont to do, got pissed off. Seriously pissed off. And so the gods said, all right, I'll tell you what we're going to do, you androgyne creeps, you both men and women. And with that, the gods sent a fierce army of warriors from the heavens to earth. And the warriors were beasts that rode on the backs of even uglier beasts. And they held in their outstretched claws a fiery sword. And they swooped down on the androgynes and slice them in two. Cut them, man from woman, woman from man. Slice them. And there was much screaming and bleeding and death and destruction and darkness. And then this huge army of beasts went back to heaven. where the gods live. There's a lot of death on Earth that day. Some of the former androgynes did survive, though. Somehow they survived. Now cleaved from their other half, they set about trying to repair the damage that had been done by the army of the gods. And life went on, and generations came and went, and history flowed to this present time. And we know what the moral or the lesson of the androgynes is. We constantly look, don't we, for our other half. No matter the gender of that other half, we know him or her when we meet. I hate the gods. I really do. Y'all know about the androgynes. I know you do. Back to your phone calls. Albert is calling from Augusta, Georgia. Albert, welcome to the program.
Mike, long time no talk to.
What?
Long time no talk to. I haven't talked to you in a while.
That's true, but that's because you never call.
That's true. I work at night. Hey, let me give this off my chest first. Okay. If that would have been the white stripper and the Morehouse basketball team, it would have been a bigger story. Anyways.
That's very true.
But listen, you know what? Here's the thing that bothers me. It's not the fact that these guys are bringing up gay marriage. I mean, hey, we knew they were going to do it in the first place. Mm-hmm. But you have genocide in Darfur. You have our soldiers being picked off like cans on the wall. You have these so-called red states that, you know, where their methamphetamine use and their traffic is increased. Our education system here in Georgia sucks. You know, the immigration problem is still there. Health care is still a problem. Our taxes are going through the roof if you're the lower middle class. Gas prices are very high. They're still rebuilding New Orleans. And you know what makes me mad the most is not the fact that these guys bought the whole gay marriage thing. It's the fact that these folks down here in Georgia, it's like, well, at least the queers can't get married, in your words.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And instead of, okay, fine. I want you all to come to the polls to vote for me or to vote for my party. Not because you're going to bring about wedge issues like flag burning or same-sex marriages or whatever, but because methamphetamine use is very high in your so-called red states. Now, where's the funding going to fight that? I mean, where's the funding for law enforcement? Whereas in Bush's last budget and the two before that, he cut first responders and law enforcement
sure.
Funds and. I don't understand this. And one thing about the South is this. I've talked to people. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, don't try to understand it. Albert, it'll just give you a headache. I don't understand it. Nobody understands it. Bush, the big law and order freak, cuts money from the budget for first responders. He cut the COPS program that was real effective on cutting down on kind of localized crime before it turned into something ugly like gang warfare. The man is sick and insane.
But I wanted to tell you this, Mike, before, because I know, you know, you're more of a popular guy than you have been in a long time, but let me ask this very briefly. What does Al Gore and Richard Nixon have in common except for Watergate and that Nixon ran for governor?
I don't know. What?
Well, they were both vice presidents. They both lost an election by like maybe 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 votes. But his party, just like our party, is wandering in the wilderness.
I didn't know you were asking me a real question. Yeah, there's a lot of comparisons between the political comeback history of Nixon and the possibility. I know where you're going. You're thinking about Al Gore running for president again, right?
Exactly. Where is Al Gore's southern strategy or his midwestern strategy that Nixon had? Because, see, I don't trust this Hillary chick, man. Her and old Willie, I voted for him twice. I always felt something funny about him, but he's playing footsie with the Bushes too much. And I think that's kind of dangerous.
That's right, and she's playing footsie with Rupert Murdoch, the guy that owns Fox and all this other nastiness.
Oh, you mean the 24-hour Bush infomercial?
Yes. Didn't you hear that Rupert Murdoch is going to have a fundraiser for her?
Yeah, I heard about that, which scares me to death.
Yeah, they're all crazy. They're all crazy.
Hey, tell me, Mike, it's always a pleasure talking to you. I'll be emailing you more. And one more thing. I debated a conservative talk show host here back in November. I meant to call you and tell you about that.
Yeah.
I cleaned his clock.
I'm sure you did, Albert. I'm sure you did. But that's not necessarily anything to talk about. I mean, anybody can clean the clock of a right-wing talk show host, right?
Well, that's right. And if there's any right-wing nut listening right now, after, you know, we invaded Iraq, that's all well a good thing, I guess. We want to see it there. I thought it was bogus. I thought it was stupid. I thought it was horrendous. And I think that it's going to destabilize the Middle East. It's going to put us in trouble when we travel over there. But I have one question to ask. And if there's any right-wing knuckle dragon listening, is it worth your son or daughter's life to fight for a government overseas, a destabilized government that's not guaranteed to last? And for anyone out there who says they'll do anything for this country, and they're saying that those guys over there who are putting bombs on their back for what, I want to ask, how many of you people out there for this country, as much as we love this country, will put a bomb on our back and do what they're doing? We're fighting an ideology, and we don't understand it, and it's going to do us in as far as our foreign policy is concerned, and I'm scared for the next 2-3 years.
I hear you. Albert, good to hear from you. Take care. Take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Gods grew quite scared of our strength and defiance, and Thor said, I'm gonna kill them all with my hammer, like I killed the giant.
You're listening to the best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
TV, you need intelligence, integrity, and a camera to cover the news. They've got the camera.
Were we rolling on that?
On what?
Comedy Central's Dog Bites Man premieres tonight at 10:30, 9:30 Central. They're the news team that won't stop until they get the big stories. Are all bodybuilders bisexual? Is spring break broken?
Well, certain stories are good for sweeps week. We've tackled what's in your muffin. Who else is going to go there?
Dog Bites Man premieres tonight at 10:30, 9:30 Central. Only on Comedy Central.
2 years ago, I had a heart attack, right here in our restaurant. If it weren't for Bayer aspirin and some quick thinking on my son's part, who knows? To me, Bayer's an amazing thing. I mean, just think about it. The same Bayer aspirin my son takes for his backaches and my daughter for headaches helped save my life. Bayer's an important part of this family. Always will be. It truly is a wonder drug.
Genuine Bayer aspirin, working wonders every day. Aspirin taken as directed by a doctor during a suspected heart attack. Use as directed.
Governments don't love. Governments can dispense law and justice, but not love.
Okay. Back to your phone call. Susie is calling from Colorado. Susie, welcome to the program. Hey, Susie.
Hi, it's actually Cynthia.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hi, Cynthia.
Well, listen, I love your show. I love your passion. By the end of the day, I need to hear her screaming and hollering big time. So it helps me therapeutically. And
sure
I wanted to say, yeah. Wayne Allard does not speak for us all Coloradoans. I'm so ashamed of him. He's embarrassing.
No, just so people understand, he's the one who introduced this amendment, this resolution for the amendment to the Constitution that would
bring
gay marriage. Yeah.
And, you know, I've just come to decide, I'm sick of this administration, making life miserable for people, you know, and that seems to be all their agenda is making life miserable for regular folks and just, you know, appeasing their own small pocket of, I don't know, the elite and the religious right. You know, we have Dobson out here as well,
mm-hmm.
and I really would like some reporter or someone to just keep hammering away at their examples of marriage. Newt Gingrich would be a great example of marriage,
yeah.
And I'd like them to explain that, and I'd like them to explain, you know, half of the Republicans who are on their second and third marriage, and what point it has in lowering taxes, creating jobs, and the biggest sin of all is a liar. So why hasn't that been brought up to the religious right?
They don't care. Religious right doesn't care. Their religion, their perverted form of Christianity is structured in such a way that you can lie, steal, cheat, be a murderer, cause all sorts of people to have grief, a disease, death, pain, suffering, and all you have to do is go to bed at night and say, oh, gee, Jesus, please forgive me, and then everything's
yeah.
okay. Yeah.
And that's pretty despicable. So
it allows so-called Christians to live a totally morally vacant life. It allows them to lead a life of just ugliness and hatefulness because they have an out. Whereas moral, for example, and I'm pushing a cause here, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the people who explain about atheism. An atheist, you see, doesn't have that kind of slimy, filthy out. An atheist has to live, if he or she's going to be moral, has to live a moral life all of his or her life. There is no out for an atheist like
right.
there is for someone who believes in religious superstition where they can go, oh, well, I'm sorry, God, and God will forgive me because, you know, here I am. I've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, so I'll be saved. Oh, bat squeeze. You
right.
either live an authentic, moral, ethical life or you don't. And
right.
for people who have invented religions and say, well, there's an out here for you. You can be the most rotten bastard on earth. But at the last minute, if you have a chance where you're sucking in your last breath or spewing out your last invective against somebody else, you can say, oh, by the way, I confess my sins.
Well, you know, Mike, I'm
joke.
Hoping that the American people can figure this out. But there are certain portions of our country that I don't think will, you know, give a bad squeeze, and the Republicans may pull another fast one. And then if that's true, then I just have to sit back and just say, well, we get what we
yeah.
you know, we
well, yeah, right. We get what we sow what we reap. The only problem with that, there are moral and ethical people who live in this country. It's just that we're not in positions of power for the reasons stated many times on this program and other programs. And because of the sort of society that we live in, you know, we are sucked along with this blood-filled tide of hatred and degeneracy that
right.
Causes us to invade other countries and try to pass constitutional amendments, for Christ's sake, that
right.
that says these people are not equal. Hey, listen, I have to leave it there. Cynthia, thank you. I appreciate you checking in. I hear you loud and clear about Wayne Allard, okay?
Yeah, thank you so much.
Right.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you, ma'am. You take care. We've got a break coming here. If you're on hold about this particular topic, just stay there because, you know, I'm going to hear some more of what you have to say. This, I know, like I said a few minutes ago in the program, of course this is not this topic of Bush and these thugs trying to institute a constitutional amendment about marriage. Of course it's going nowhere. Of course it's gratuitous. Of course it's pandering. Of course it's nonsense. And that's the reason that I'm giving it some attention. Of course it has nothing to do with the butchery of our troops in Iraq, both as perpetrator and victim. Of course not. Of course it has nothing to do with our tanking economy. Of course it has nothing to do with all the vile, filthy deeds this Bush crime family has perpetrated against the American people and the Constitution. And that's the reason I'm talking about it. Of course it's a cover story. As in, cover up. And as far as Republicans, have you heard about this Republican Jim Galley, who's running for Congress in San Diego? He's calling himself a pro-traditional family candidate. He was married to two women at the same time, ducked out on his child support payments, been accused of violence and abuse by one of his ex-wives. Lied about his military service. This is Republican. This is a guy who is running. What district is it? I don't see it right here in front of me. But he's running for Congress from the San Diego area. The San Diego San Diego Union Tribune discovered all this stuff about him and put it. I guess was it in today's paper? I hope it was in today's paper. It was in June 2nd's paper. The paper June the 2nd. Jesus, what and Republican family values are just degeneracy, violence, abuse, ugliness, adultery, sneakiness. If I left anything out, we'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Does your vacuum cleaner earn its keep? Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Orrick XL is so powerful it cleans the world's finest hotels, yet it uses one-third as much electricity as most other uprights. Try my Orrick XL risk-free, and I'll give you my $100 cordless iron as a gift. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200. Nobody works harder to give you more value for your money than I do.
Hi, this is Julia Sweeney. In my new play, Letting Go of God, I come out clearly as an atheist, absolutely committed to keeping church and state separate. Won't you join me and the Freedom From Religion Foundation in waking up America to the growing dangers of theocracy? Phone 1-800-335-4021. That's 1-800-335-4021. Or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. That's ffrf.org.
Air America Radio News, I'm Glenn Schuck. The U.S. Senate has rejected a constitutional ban on same-sex marriage. Supporters of the proposed amendment were 11 votes shy of what they needed to end the debate on the measure and bring it to an up-and-down vote. Republican leaders still plan to take it up in the U.S. House of Representatives. South Dakota Republican Senator John Thune says he was not disappointed by Wednesday's vote. He mentioned that a little more headway is made every time the issue comes back for debate. The commander of the U.S. Marine Corps is vowing a thorough investigation into allegations of abuse by American troops in Iraq. The Marines are investigating claims that U.S. troops were responsible for the deaths of 24 unarmed civilians in the town of Haditha last November. General Michael Hagee says they're committed to supporting the investigation and the Marine Corps will provide any resources necessary to help.
We want to ensure the investigations are complete with respect to what actually happened on the ground and actions taken or not taken by the chain of command.
Now, Hagee told the Pentagon news conference that the vast majority of Marines are the highest caliber and are doing a superb job in Iraq and Afghanistan. A European rights group is accusing more than 20 countries of taking part in the secret transfer of terror suspects by the CIA. According to an investigator for the Council of Europe, the CIA's web of covert rendition amounted to a form of legal and judicial apartheid. Some countries were deemed to be actively involved in the transfers, while others were accused of looking the other way. Immigration reform is in the presidential spotlight for a second straight day on Wednesday. President Bush was in Nebraska, urging lawmakers to resolve their differences and get a comprehensive reform bill to his desk as soon as possible. Now, speaking in Omaha, the president said the U.S. is a nation of immigrants.
We're a nation of laws, and we want to uphold those laws. We're also a compassionate nation that treats people decently, and the two are not in conflict.
Now, the Senate and House have passed very different bills so far on immigration reform. Differences need to be resolved in a joint House-Senate conference committee. There are more allegations of plagiarism surfacing against the author of the Da Vinci Code. Now, according to an upcoming Vanity Fair article, Dan Brown is accused of stealing the plot of Daughter of God, which is a book by Louis Perdue. Brown is also reportedly accused of taking an exact passage from a paper from Mark Rosheim entitled Leonardo's Lost Robot. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Glenn Schuck.
the best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Welcome back. 7 before the hour. After the hour, before, after, depends on your where you're standing. Welcome back to Air America, the Malloy program. Dennis in Wisconsin sent this in. He says, Mike, obviously we liberals do not understand that protecting a piece of cloth, he's referring to the flag, is far more important than discriminating against someone because of their sexual preference. Doesn't it make you feel great knowing that the flag is safe? But damn those people who are different. Yeah, I hear you, Dennis. This flag nonsense and the gay marriage thing is really, it's like fingers down a chalkboard to me. Oh, by the way, I think we have intercepted an email from invitation from Karl Rove. It says, :, all minions, regarding, party in honor of 666 Eve, midnight tonight. And then it says, is this an invitation? Then it says, just a reminder, if you don't have a ticket, you cannot attend a big party at the Hellmouth under the White House. The human sacrifice is BYOV, bring your own virgin, either gender, and somebody bring an extra virgin for that cheapskate Pat Robertson. He always says he, forgets, And for Satan's sake, don't clap louder for Hitler and Reagan than you do for Bush, or he'll be impossible to live with for a dozen fortnights. Our Dark Lord Cheney will give the mass promptly at midnight. Don't be late, or there will be hell to pay. What is this? Where's Buffy? Where is Buffy? We need a slayer. We definitely need a slayer. Speaking of slayers, oh, my God, our Brooklyn bureau chief is checking in. Haven't heard from Maddie Joan in, I don't know, just a very, very, very long time. Hey, Maddie, how you doing?
Good, Mike. No funny voices tonight. I'm going to go deep with this one.
Uh-oh, here we go. All right, do I fasten my seatbelt?
Yeah, you probably should.
All right, hold on. Fasten your seatbelts. All right, Maddie Joan, let her rip.
Well, you had that caller earlier that was mentioning the problems of, what he termed hermaphrodites getting married.
Right.
The actual term that's being used now is intersex, and it's a lot more common than you would think. In fact, Kathy probably knows since she has a nursing background. But 1 in 2,000 births are intersexed, and there are a wide variety of markers. There's chromosomal, there's genetic, there's, physical, congenital birth. I don't want to say defects, because I don't consider it a defect. Birth anomalies, fine. The point is, this whole constitutional amendment thing, you've got 1 in 2,000 people born on this planet who wouldn't credibly pass a test as to whether they're male or female.
Well, that's true.
So it's a can of worms that they're going to be trying to open up with this that really just is never going to fly. And that's not even including transsexuals.
But you understand, don't you, that there's no seriousness here. This is not about, at least on the part of Bush or these filthy Republican office holders, this is not about really making this happen.
Oh, I know that, of course not.
Right.
I'm just really trying to educate because
right.
of the call before. And if any of your listeners want to check out, there's a really good information site on intersex issues. It's ISNA. .org, ISNA, Intersex Society of North America, .org, ISNA.
ISNA.org.
Yeah. So if anybody is curious about this phenomenon, that's a marvelous place to go look.
I think you're making a very a salient point here. I had no idea intersex births were that high. 1 in 8,000.
1 in 2,000.
Or 1 in 2,000.
1 in 2,000.
Hmm.
I mean, in point of fact, if such an amendment went through,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't marry anybody. You know, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was just thinking about that. That would be difficult, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, no, it'd be impossible.
It would be impossible.
Yeah, it would be impossible. Well, I like the legend of the androgens.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's quite fitting, and yeah. I was glad that you brought it up, and amazed that Kathy picked up on the music cue so fast, because it was exactly what was going through my mind was the Hedwig song.
The Hedwig, wasn't that the greatest movie ever made?
Yeah, it totally was.
Yeah.
That would be the origin of love for the uninitiated out there.
Hedwig and the Angry Inch. We recommend that movie here on the Malloy program.
Yeah, I saw it live on stage, both with John Cameron Mitchell, and then later, unfortunately, with Ally Sheedy.
Ally, oh my God.
Which didn't work.
Oh my God, gag me with a condom. I can't believe that. We never saw the stage play, but we did see the movie. It was a great movie.
Yeah.
All right, Bureau Chief, thanks. Good to hear from you.
Okay, Mike.
Don't be a stranger, Maddie Joan.
I won't at all.
All right, take care. It's a Brooklyn Bureau Chief, you know what I'm saying? You know, that's how we talk over there. Hannah is calling from Austin, Texas. Hannah, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How are you?
I just wanted to go all the way back to the very beginning where you were talking about your concept of a marriage contract and the old Soviet style, and I wanted to point out to you it's not just Soviet style.
Yeah.
Most of civilized Europe has done this since way before the Soviet era, and I myself am actually the child of a civil marriage that occurred in 1950 in the Netherlands.
Huh.
My father is American, my mother is Dutch, and my mother, in November of 1950, wrote a letter to her prospective in-laws in America explaining about how they would first be going to the city hall, mm-hmm. and they would be registering their marriage, and that would make them legally married, and then, because they chose to, then they would go to the church and get married in the church. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, in Holland, the clergy is not empowered to perform this function on behalf of the state.
Is that right?
So they have it very clear. They definitely understand the separation of church and state way better than we do.
Well, I think the term civil union is so appropriate because, for God's sake, that's what it is.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah,
exactly what it is.
It's an agreement between two people to how they're going to conduct themselves as they, I'm going to sound like a lawyer here, as they domicile together, and it doesn't make any difference. They have to lay out maybe some agreements about how they're going to raise the children, because it doesn't make any difference if you're gay or straight. If you want children, you're going to have children. How the finances are going to be handled. Now, I realize not all of that is laid out in the marriage contract unless you have a prenup, but I'm just saying.
Right, we just assume that it's there.
Yeah, right, exactly, because it is a civil union. It is a contract, and far be it from me to ever remove anything romantic from two people getting together with all the flair and romance and love and kissy-kissy.
You can have all of that, but sure. That is just not considered part of what the state does.
Right. Amen and amen and amen. I hear you loud and clear, Austin. I mean, Hannah.
Yeah.
go, I'm sorry. All right, Hannah, thanks for checking
in.
All right,
bye-bye.
I appreciate it. Take care. Well, and by the way off topic, I've gotten four emails now about the Glenn Beck commercials being run on this network. I have nothing to do with that, okay? A lot of you are hearing Glenn Beck commercials for his CNN Headlines gig. Please don't write to me, all right? Write to Air America, and I think you should. But I don't want to, all right? Rich is calling from Palm Springs, California. Rich, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Doing fine. How are you, Rich?
Oh, pretty good. It's just really this thing that they're doing. I just wonder if they're doing this just to get to see where the Democrats vote on this so that they can use this against them.
That's part of it. Yeah, that's part of it. The other part is trying to pull Bush's poll numbers out of the high 20s and maybe up to 40. Hey, hold on a second, Rich.
Okay.
I got to do a break here, and we'll come back and chat. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
And if you can, don't let me know. Don't give yourself away. I've looked at love from both sides now, from give and take. Still, somehow, it's love's illusions that I recall. Really?
don't know.
You're listening to the best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Hey, this is Rachel Maddow, host of The Rachel Maddow Show here on Air America Radio, and I want to encourage you to help take back America's future on June 12th. Join me from June 12th to June 14th when the Campaign for America's Future, in partnership with Air America Radio, hosts the 2006 Take Back America Conference in Washington, D.C. The conference brings together thousands of progressive activists, thinkers, and leaders like Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, Robert Redford, Harry Reid, Russ Feingold, and many others to discuss the ideas, hone the message, train the organizers, and help build the infrastructure we need to ensure that the voice of the progressive majority is heard. I'll be there. Register online today for the Take Back America Conference, June 12th through 14th in Washington, D.C. Log on to airamericaradio.com or visit www.ourfuture.org to sign up for this important conference. Please join me and register today so we can make a difference and help take back America's future.
We're now determining the size and the shape of a package. It's not if we have a package, it's how big will the package be.
I
be there, but we'll excite. Make you dream of me tonight. I don't know.
21 past the hour. We're talking with Rich in Palm Springs, California. Right now we're talking about this attempt to instill in the U.S. Constitution inequality and discrimination. Go ahead, Rich. Thanks for holding on.
Yeah, what I was just kind of saying, you know, growing up as a teenager and realizing that I was gay, and this is the first time I've admitted it, I didn't feel that I've ever had to tell anybody. You know, it was my choice to... you know, remain, as they say, in the closet, which I don't even like to use that term. It's just nobody's business, you know, just as much as it's not my business to ask anybody else whether they're straight or not. And, you know, growing up, and I mean, I haven't thought about this in a long time, and that was when Anita Bryan hit the scene in the mid to late 70s and the things she said. And as a teenager growing up and struggling with this, you can't tell anybody, you can't speak to your family, you can't speak to your friends, but you hear these things. And you know, my heart goes out to the other kids coming up in this, and I know it's a little bit easier, and I've seen the poll where they've found out that people under 40 really just don't give a damn about this marriage thing. It's not an issue to them.
Mm-hmm.
And for these people to go out of their way to, you know, think that they're going to stop us, they are not going to stop us. And let me say to your right-wing listeners out there, you will not stop us. We will just get stronger and carry through because you cannot stop us. We have never chosen to stop any of you people to do what you want to do. You know, we don't go to their churches and try to stop them from attending their religious service, whatever it is. And I know what they would think or say if we tried to do that. You know, I was involved for some time with the gay pride parades, and I remember how the religious right showed up to protest against us. And I mean, we were not openly, and we had to even have it at a college one time. And that was where we got some protection against them, because since we were on a university property, the university police were there and say, okay, well, you guys can stay over there and you have to leave them alone. But that's about the only protection we got. And I remember Lou Sheldon, which is another crazy wacko out there that, you know, tried to do everything he could for the city that this was held in Orange County at the time 20 years ago, to try to prevent us from having a gay pride parade, you know, just coming out of the woodwork.
Sure.
And putting us down, you know, and that type of thing. And it's like, ugh, these people, you know.
Well, I've discovered in my time on the planet here that people who adopt a moral stance based on superstition or religion are, for the most part, hypocrites, because that religious stance requires them to disdain or hate or try to burn at the stake the so-called other, the one who's not like them, the one who doesn't look like them, the one who doesn't believe like them, the one who doesn't worship like them. And so I, you know, somebody like Lou Sheldon and the Traditional Values Coalition or whatever neo-fascist organization he runs, I just wonder what these people are going to do. I wish there was a moment's a post-death consciousness where these people would be fully aware that there really is nothing there except the void, and that all this crap that they've been putting out there, all their bigotry and prejudice, has been for nothing. I just, of course, that's an impossibility. But
no, I know, because they're so set in what they're after, and I agree with what you said. I would like to see that too, and I just know that they're just aiming for, like you said, there's a void in their life, and they got to fill it somehow.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just amazing. And you know, they know this wasn't going to pass, and they say, "Oh, let's do this," you know.
Yeah.
And it's like, for what? You know, I mean, the next thing I see them trying to do is stopping people from not just the adoption, but actually doing the artificial insemination to have their own child, because we've been denied to be able to adopt any kids.
That would be the next step. You're absolutely right.
That's what they want to do.
Sure, sure.
You know, it's just like, where does it stop? So since I don't have equal protection under the law, then let me stop paying taxes. You know, why should I have to pay?
Well,
you know?
I'd rather see you fight, frankly.
You know, oh, and we will. But, I mean, you know, where do they want to draw the line? All I can say, they want to push, I'm going to push back.
Well, good.
Because there's only a point in time. And as I get older, you know what, life gets shorter, and there's much better things to do on this planet while we're here and try to get along instead of deciding who should have rights and who shouldn't.
Yeah, good point.
This is
good
just
point.
Crazy. So.
It is crazy. Rich, thanks. I appreciate the passion in what you had to say. Take care, okay?
You too. Bye.
All right. It's impossible. It really is for someone who is heterosexual to understand what one of the things Richard was just talking about, kids who realize early on that they're homosexual. And there's no place to go with that. No place. Not your little sick religion, not your family, for the most part. Certainly not your peers, especially if you're a gay boy. You know, what do you do with it? What do you do? Imagine your heterosexuality in a system that condemned heterosexuality. Imagine you're a teenage boy or a teenage girl, and you like members of the opposite sex, and you feel an inclination towards members, and you're told that you're going to burn in hell for feeling that way, and that you're guilty, and that you're a thug, and that your God hates you, and on and on and on. Imagine that.
You can't love who you want to love in times like these. Homophobia, the worst disease. You can't love who you want to love in times like these.
The best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 100,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals on the iMed and Cigna Dental Networks. Call right now and you can try the Optimum Health Discount Card risk-free for 30 days. That's right. Your membership entitles you to full access to the entire Cigna Dental Network and iMed Network for you to try risk-free for 30 days. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Start saving up to 60% off now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
Country singers Bruce Robeson and Kelly Willis.
We had a gig in half an hour.
But with my allergies, I wasn't all there. I just couldn't sing.
I told her, you need Claritin D.
So I got Claritin Clear. Claritin D relieved my worst symptoms, even congestion and sinus pressure, fast. And I wasn't drowsy.
Told you, nothing works stronger, faster, or longer.
Find Claritin D on shelf or at the pharmacy counter. Use as directed among non-drowsy oral 24-hour OTC allergy products.
Live Claritin Clear.
I'm Bob Harris to tell you about my new Smart Balance Omega Plus Light Mayonnaise with flax oil and plant sterols. New Smart Balance Omega Mayo has 500 milligrams of omega-3s per serving, natural plant sterols to help offset cholesterol, and half the fat and calories of regular mayonnaise. Enjoy my new Smart Balance Omega Light Mayonnaise in salads and sandwiches. You get an omega-3 wallop in every tasty dollop of my new Smart Balance Light Mayonnaise.
We'll be right back.
best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
End your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
25 before the hour, at alternate.org, there is a correct way to frame, and Mark in Bethlehem, PA, sent this to me, the correct way to frame this gay marriage argument. If you go to alternate.org, you'll find it there. But in the third way to frame it, it says, after we frame the debate in terms of the Constitution and limited time, we must ask a series of bold and direct questions about the dangers that result from not solving the real problems it faces. And then the writer lists, how many people have died in Iraq because of a marriage? How much has the price of gas gone up because of a marriage? How many people died during Hurricane Katrina because of a marriage? How much has the environment been damaged because of a marriage? How many jobs have been shipped overseas illegally because of a marriage? You get the idea. How many children have had their asthma untreated because of a marriage? How many officials, elected officials in Washington have been indicted for corruption because of a marriage? You get the point. It is truly a non-issue, and that's the reason that we're talking about it. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Now, I've got to do this now, or we're not going to have time to do it. If you're on hold, please stick around, because we'll be taking phone calls again. But this is from Chucklenuts today on the Marriage Protection Amendment. Jesus, the Marriage Protection Amendment. Ah, oh, my God, these bastards are so sick. They are just so degenerate. There is no basement below which they won't go. It's just a plunge straight through hell and out through China and into the ozone or the, I don't know. Bush has trotted out two lame arguments to pass this filthy amendment against civil liberty to enforce hatred and bigotry. One, that the state's rights are a threat to marriage, whatever that means. And the activist judges are threatening marriages, whatever that means. Now, regarding states' rights, it is beyond ironic that the same knuckle-draggers who support this amendment, or say they do, get their bloomers all sticky over the possibility of legally recognized gay marriages. They're the same bunch that say the federal government ought to stay out of their business and their lives, right?
Constitutional amendment that the Senate will consider this week would fully protect marriage from being redefined.
From those evil queers!
Marriage is the most fundamental institution of civilization.
No, it's not.
And it should not be redefined by activist judges. This week, the Senate begins debate on the Marriage Protection Amendment.
Yay!
And I call on the Congress to pass this amendment.
Yay!
Send it to the states for ratification so we can take this issue out of the hands of overreaching judges and put it back where it belongs, in the hands of the American people.
You know, no wonder Feingold walked out on the special emergency meeting that Arlen Specter called about this this garbage. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. Oh, my God. Bush goes on, he claims that the people have spoken, have told him. The people have told him they want a constitutional ban on gay marriage. Yeah, the dirty, evil queers. And neither the individual states nor independent courts should have any say on the issue. Blah, 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 blah. He's hearing voices again. He is. The unitary executive decider is saying again that only he and the federal government should have decision-making powers over our lives. He's hearing voices.
The people have spoken.
Ooh.
Unfortunately, this consensus is being undermined by activist judges.
Ooh.
And local officials who have struck down state laws protecting marriage.
Ooh.
And made an aggressive attempt to redefine marriage.
Ooh.
The Defense of Marriage Act declares that no state is required to accept another state's definition of marriage.
Ooh.
If that act is overturned by the courts, then marriage recognized in one city or state may have to be recognized as marriages everywhere else.
No, really?
That would mean that every state would have to recognize marriages redefined by judges in, say, Massachusetts, or local officials in San Francisco.
You know where all the queers live. Oh, my Christ! We can't have people in Massachusetts or San Francisco actually deciding what they want in their own communities. That would be chaos! What if they decide it was okay to marry farm animals or have sex with organic produce or something? How did it get this sick here? I'll tell you how. When our amazing media in this company and our amazing Democratic Party just rolled over, when these filthy bastards stole the 2000 election and unleashed this degenerate administration on all of us. God. Listen, here to Tony Snow now, the briefing. Listen to this presumed slip of the tongue as the snowman admits that gay marriage is a civil rights issue, right? Then listen as he furiously backpedals from his own statement a few minutes later, then pretends he doesn't know what civil rights are. And the reporter doing the questioning, you got to wonder about this jackass, too. Of course, on the other hand, maybe Tony Snow's not pretending and he's actually stupider than anyone ever imagined. The reporter starts out by saying, there's some criticism that the president's remarks today are merely intended to energize conservative supporters, since there is little likelihood this is going to pass the Senate. What's your response to that, Tony?
I think this is driven in many ways by the legislative calendar. The president is making his views known. Whether it passes or not, as you know, Terry, there have been a number of cases where civil rights matters have
arisen
on a number of occasions, and they've been brought up for repeated consideration by the United States Senate and other legislative bodies. So as far as a SOP, I mean, I've also had people say, well, wait a minute, you take a look at a constitutional amendment, that's only a 45 to 50% proposition.
You mentioned civil rights. Are you comparing this to various civil rights measures which have come to the Congress over the years?
Well, they said
it's a civil right.
Marriage? It actually, what we're really talking about here is an attempt to try to maintain the traditional meaning of an institution that has maintained one meaning for a period of centuries.
And furthermore, civil rights?
No, I'm just saying that I think, well, I don't know. How do you define civil rights?
Not up to me, up to you.
Okay, well, no, it's your question. So I need to get a more precise definition.
I'm so dumb, I need to look up civil rights in my little handy dictionary here. Hold on a second, Terry. Where's Jeff Gannon? Me love you long time, Jeff, when I need him. Who's this Terry person? And didn't Terry sound like, what? You're equating this with civil rights? How dare you? This is about queers getting married and stopping them. I don't know who the Terry was. That wasn't Terry Moran. No, it's not Terry Moran. It's probably Terry the Hater from the Christian Thug Jumpers or something, you know, some little pamphlet put out, and he got a press credential for today. We want you to go in there and ask him some questions. Okay. The abominable snowman now addresses the press on gay marriage even further. I wonder if, if Jeff Gannon had been there, had he had any thoughts or relevant questions, right? Reporter here says, there is some criticism, Tony, that the president's remarks today are merely intended to energize. Oh, wait a minute. It's the same question, just presented by another one of these thugs. What's your response, Tony, that the president's remarks today are just to get the conservatives to go vote?
You can cut this both ways when you take a look at polls, but the fact is, the president is restating a long-held position, and B, he's also made it clear that he wishes it didn't have to come to this. This is in response to a number of states where either through their own constitutions or through laws or even initiatives or referenda, people have chosen to define marriage as being between a man and a woman, and the courts have overridden them.
You know why that is? Dumb bastard. That's because the courts are upholding the Constitution, not the Bible. Dumb bastard. What's the matter with you, dumb bastard? Don't you understand why the courts would do this? It's called the Constitution, you freak! Bush has made it clear that he wishes it didn't have to come to this? Bat squeeze. He doesn't care a whit about this. Remember the infamous marijuana tapes from before his first stolen presidential election where he's caught on tape saying he doesn't care about gay rights or gay issues, but he has to pretend he does to appeal to his psychotic, fake Christian base, huh? Come on, why don't you crack White House reporters bring up something relevant to this irrelevant issue? Oh, never mind. Helen Thomas has an interesting question, which Patrick Leahy would also bring up in the Senate later this afternoon. Helen says, just as the war in Iraq is escalating and there are so many issues on the table, the president spent 2 days on this gay marriage thing. Isn't that a bit frivolous? There are real issues that affect every American, and this isn't one of them, but war is. And why isn't the president dealing with, why is the president dealing with this at all?
Are you assuming that the president is not dealing with war? Again, the president is, believe it or not, he can deal with more than one issue at a time. And I've tried to make it the point.
About the escalation of the war in Iraq?
The president is concerned about the successful conclusion of military action in Iraq. So the people of Iraq, who are right now, as you know, Helen, they're just now going back and unearthing a mass grave from the time of Saddam Hussein. They're concerned about building a democracy that is free and stable. And so the president is committed to that task and seeing it through.
Helen at the very end says you don't do that through the barrel of a gun. Yeah, well. All right, we've got just two more here. Well, I've got one more for you, and then a couple of comments from Patrick Leahy from the Senate today that I want you to hear. And then we'll move on. By the way, Bush invited a so-called ex-gay leader whose organization operates this some sort of a youth boot camp and equates gays with Satan to his White House press conference today. Can you believe that? Alan Chambers, president of Exodus International. I don't know. We'll be right back.
Get them up against the wall. Now there's one in the spotlight. He don't look right to me. Get him up against the wall. And that one's Jewish. And that one's a cool.
Listening to the best of Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. You'll never find a Rolex watch in a superstore, or for that matter, an Orrick vacuum. That's because you're judged by the company you keep. If you want an amazingly powerful 8-pound Orrick vacuum, visit one of my Orrick stores, or call me at 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and I'll send you one to use free for 30 days. It's worth the time, and it won't cost you a dime.
time I saw you, we just split in two. He was looking at me, I was looking at you. I had a way so familiar, I could not recognize.
Need some wood?
You had blood on your face, I had blood in my eyes, but I could swear by your expression that the pain down in your soul was the same. The one down in my soul.
It's about 8 before the hour. Last one from Tony Snow at the briefing today. Reporter asks, what would happen to all the current legal marriages between same-sex couples that now exist if Bush's bigoted amendment was passed? The reporter said, are you saying that the president believes that marriage is under attack? There are more than 8,000 same-sex couples that have been married in Massachusetts. What threat do they pose, and what is the president's message to them?
I don't think people look at this as a threat. It is trying to clarify what is an important and contentious cultural and legal issue.
Would this, let me just follow up. Would this to become a constitutional amendment, what legally then happens to those 8,000-plus same-sex couples? Are their marriages annulled?
That would have to require keener legal expertise than mine.
Mickey Mouse has keener legal expertise than you do, Snow. Jesus. This is at, somebody sent this to me from alternate.org also. Evan, one of the bloggers there. This is a phone call. This is a transcript of a phone call made to Idaho Senator Mike Crapo. Is that how you pronounce it? Idaho Senator Mike Crapo, in order to get his views on what's being called traditional marriage. The caller says to the woman, I'm assuming it's the woman who answered the phone, is Senator Crapo in favor of traditional marriage?
Yes, he is. He's a co-sponsor of the bill.
He is. Can you tell me if he masturbates?
I couldn't tell you that.
Can you tell me, do you masturbate?
I can't tell you that either.
Can you tell me, does he commit sodomy, analingus, cunnilingus, or fellatio?
What's the purpose of this questioning?
It's regarding his views on traditional marriage.
Okay, he supports the bill.
Yes, but could you tell me, does he commit sodomy?
I couldn't give you an answer on that.
Is he willing to pledge that he has not or will not commit sodomy?
I couldn't answer that.
Has he ever had sex before or outside of his marriage?
Again, sir, what's the point of this questioning?
It's regarding traditional marriage and how far his support goes.
Any one of those questions, I couldn't answer.
Have you ever had sex outside of marriage?
I will not answer that.
It's nobody's business, right?
That's right.
Okay, thank you. It's nobody's business, right? Mike in St. Paul emails, and since Mr. Bush feels so compelled to defend marriage, I wait in enthusiastic anticipation for the constitutional bans on domestic abuse. On the a ban on the lack of health care. A ban on poverty. I believe all these things have been demonstrated historically to rip families apart. I'm not sure there's any evidence that gay unions will destroy even one non-gay marriage, unless, of course, that marriage is a sham, but let's leave all the closet Republicans out of this. From Sue, not one hot-button issue, gay marriage, was put out there, but two. There was another one, activist judges, the old standby, lots of hot buttons in that one. Civil rights, uppity women, and on and on. How did all those activist judges get on the bench? Reagan doubled the number of judges on the federal bench, meaning he was able to appoint half the federal judges in addition to the vacancies that occurred during his two terms. That's for starters. And they all have R's. Reagan, unless one assumes all sitting judges were Democrat appointees when Reagan took office, Reagan was followed by Bush 1, who appointed more judges to the bench. Then there was Clinton, who had difficulty getting a hearing for any of his appointees. When he left office, over 200 appointees were still sitting in the Judiciary Committee waiting for a hearing. Then we had Bush, too, who has been appointing judges for over 5 years. So, how many federal judgeships are there? Of the total, how many are Republican appointees? How many are Democrat appointees? Who has been appointing and confirming all those activist judges. Right, well, I hear you loud and clear, Sue, and of course we know that's part of the sham, too. Activist judges? That's one of those one of those terms that I don't know, somebody came up with, Newt Gingrich, I don't know, somebody came up with, activist judge. That's somebody who tries to thwart the will of the people. That's somebody who is not a Christian. An activist judge are judges that say the Ten Commandments have no business whatsoever being posted in a courthouse, for obvious reasons. Activist judges, huh? Okay, quick break. We shall return here, and I want you to hear what Patrick Lay had to say about this nonsense. And then we're going to move on. And we will have given this hideous, disgusting topic that is the approach to the Constitution to rip a hole in it all the attention it needs. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Hi, I'm Jeanine Garofalo, and it doesn't matter if you're black, white, gay, straight, male, or female. AIDS has taken its toll on all kinds of people around the world for over 20 years, and it is still everybody's problem. Register for AIDS Walk. Together, we can make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that will help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org. A message from Air America Radio.
My one favorite spread has been Smart Balance Buttery Spread. I'm Bob Harris, and I've got another favorite spread that I think you'll love. It's new Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter. It contains no hydrogenated oil, no trans fatty acid, no refined sugar, all natural ingredients, and 1,000 milligrams of omega-3s per serving. New Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter with 1,000 milligrams of omega-3. We deep roast premium quality peanuts to make it taste great.